We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Off the Top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. And off the top, Ron, there's a couple of things happening. My singing is back to pre-pandemic form. Horse and I discovered before the show today. Feels good, I have to admit that. And of course, your well-being. And that's the first question that's going to be posed today is, Ron, how are you?
Joe, thank you for asking. I really appreciate that. I am doing just fine. It's a hockey night in Pittsburgh. I'm looking forward to that. There are going to be actual human beings at the game, which is kind of cool. So I'm doing pretty good this morning. How about yourself?
Well, and one of the reasons is the singing back in form. We have a lot of treats today. We have a hockey game tonight. Are you going over there by any chance?
I don't know that we're allowed yet. I wish I was, but I haven't heard anything. So I'm planning on watching it at home and doing the Zoom crap afterwards.
How does this work, Ron? Just the beat writers are allowed over there? When did they let us in the building? What's going on here?
I thought we only allowed one in there. Even we have two beat writers, and I was under the understanding that at least at the beginning of the year, there was only allowed to have one there. I don't know if that'll change. I have not heard. I have not looked into it yet. I'm not pressing my luck. I would love to be back in the building. I really would.
Man, it's going to be interesting over there. It's going to be like back to our childhoods when we watched the Jetsons. There's going to be these safety initiatives that they've been working on over there. You're going to have drone disinfecting technology in the Arena Bowl. So you're going to have, do the drones fly around like during breaks in the action? Or is it they have to, right? If you want to keep it continuously updated and cleaned, they have autonomous UV floor scrubbers, Ron. You're going to run, if you do go over there one of these nights, you're going to run into Jetsons-like robots in the corridors cleaning the floors. Do you say excuse me to one of those things, Ron? If you walk into one, do you say excuse me?
I guess you do. I hadn't heard that was the plan. I trust they're going to do everything possible to keep it safe because they don't want to ruin this. They want to get more people in the building, and the best way to do that is show you can pull it off safely. So I think they're going to do everything possible. I had not heard about the drones, though. Drones kind of scare me. I don't know. I have enough trouble with earthlings, let alone drones. So I don't know, but I'm sure it'll be safe there. I know a lot of people that are going to be The people that get in are going to feel very lucky to be there. And it's the Flyers, for God's sake. That makes it even better, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think if I could, I would write that from there. If I had a column to write and I could be in the building, I would try to sit in the Arena Bowl. I imagine the lower bowl would be the only place that's open, right? And then just write about what happens. Try to interview the drone. Try to interview the floor scrubber. It's going to be unbelievable. Touchless faucets and flush valves in all the restrooms. So this thing knows when to flush. You're going to have 200 plus hand sanitizer stations, which is my style. I mean, I've been using hand sanitizer like a maniac for 25 years. Forget about the last year. I love this. I would love to write that. Just sit in there and watch what happens. It'd be better than the game, although the game should be pretty good. How big is the game tonight? And who do you think we'll see? I imagine we have to see Jari back in goal, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Oh, it's very big. Every one of these games is huge. I mean, you can see you lose one game like the Penguins did, the way they did over the weekend to the Islanders, you know, they have a real thrilling overtime win, and then they lose in regulation. They end up losing a point out of the whole deal, and that's how tight these games are. So I think it's really a big game tonight. All three of them are big against the Islanders, but against the Flyers, but it doesn't really matter who you play. All these games are big, but the Flyers are one of those teams you're trying to hold off to get a playoff spot. They're one of the – there's five teams looking basically for four spots, and the Flyers and Penguins are each one of those in that group. So these are big games, absolutely. That's what makes it so much fun. That's one of the reasons I'm really looking forward to it.
Flyers have put themselves in good position here. Despite COVID, major COVID issues, they've played only 18 games. Only the Devils, who have had major problems of their own, have played fewer in the division. And yet the Flyers are a couple points ahead of the Penguins with two games in hand. So we're going to have a guy, Charlie O'Connor, who covers this team for The Athletic, come on later in the show. He's really good at what he does. So I want to pepper him with some questions about what are the real Flyers here, because they've half their wins are against the Devils and the Sabres. And yet, I think three or four of their losses are against the Bruins. So are they just, you know, making hay on the bad teams, or are they actually better than we think and just happen to lose to maybe the best team in the Bruins? I don't know what we have in the Flyers so far this season. I do know that since their issues, they've won three in a row. I know that Carter Hart has had major issues this season, but Brian Elliott, old man Elliott, has been incredible. He's got, what does he have, like a 930 save percentage or something? The big question in goal might be for them who plays. They're coming off back-to-back shutouts of the Sabres, and each guy got one.
Well, I'll tell you, it just tells you how bad the Sabres are, right? I mean, by far, it looks like the worst team in that division. I give the Flyers credit because they had their season basically really disrupted as much as anybody by COVID. And as you pointed out, they fought their way back through it. So these are going to be very competitive games. You might remember the first two this year. They just absolutely spanked the Penguins. What was it, 6-3, 5-2, I believe. And just really dominated them. Now, that was a lifetime ago. Those were the first two games of the season. So I would expect a better fight from the Penguins, but I say that I expected a better fight the other night against the Islanders, and, man, was I disappointed.
Yeah, those first couple of games, as far as I can recall, it was an odd man break festival for the Flyers. I do remember the Penguins playing, to my way of thinking, they didn't get dominated, I didn't think. In fact, they outshot the Flyers in the first game 34-25, but the goaltending was brutal. And it felt like when the Flyers got a chance, it was a great chance. That's what I remember about those games. And continuing a season-long issue here, right from game one, Ron, the score was 6-3 in game one. Penguins scored the first goal. Mark Jankowski, has he scored since? I don't think so.
I don't think.
And then the Flyers came right back the rest of the first period with two power play goals. And I'm going to read you what our friend Bob Grove sent me the other day in a second here. But the penalty kill is a major, major problem for this team.
Well, the numbers are ridiculous. I think they're 72%. Success rate killing penalties, that'll get you killed. That'll get you knocked out of any chance of making the playoffs is what it'll do. I mean, those numbers just speak for themselves. And, the Islanders just killed them on the power play. And I would expect the Flyers going to come out trying to do the same thing tonight.
Everybody else is doing it. You know, we've spent so much time focused on the power play because of the Penguins' star power on that unit, and why isn't it better, and how can it possibly be 9% on the road? But if the penalty kill had been what it was early last season, I think this team would be at least 2 to 3 wins better. I really do. I think they'd be fighting for first place. I don't know that I've spent enough time looking at this penalty kill. So I asked Grover yesterday, I said, have the Penguins ever been worse through 20 games with their penalty kill? And, of course, Ron, within a couple of hours, Grover had those numbers. How do you look that up? I mean, he's obviously got every single game they've ever played in great detail, but he looked it up. He said only three times have they been worse than what they are right now, which is, I don't even know, it was 72-something. 1980-81. 80-81. 82-83, they were at 68. And 89-90, they were at 71-6. Only three times in the history of this franchise have they been worse. And then Grover gave me the you may be interested to know, and you know he's coming up with something good after that, that after 20 games last season, the Penguins were 41 for 46 on the penalty kill, their best mark through 20 games in 49 years, and second in the NHL at that time. What's going on here, Ron? What is Mike Vellucci doing, honestly?
Yeah, those stats from last year led to the firing of Jacques Martin. I don't know. I don't get that. I don't know how. There's just no excuse for them being this bad, and I think that was the message that Sullivan conveyed in very terse style the other night. Not good enough, giving up too many. We got to be better. You know, maybe the change of personnel, but, I mean, I think Bluger and Tanev are excellent penalty killers. I don't know who else you're going to put out there. You know, I guess you can change the defenseman. Getting Dumoulin back probably will help. But those stats are just overwhelming. Now, these aren't season stats, right? They're after 20 games. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, thank goodness the season is longer than 20 games. They have a chance to turn it around, but we haven't seen any indication that they're going to.
Not based on the Islanders series. Tonight would be a good time to start. They appear to have no idea what they want to do. I'm not convinced that it's personnel necessarily, although as I say that, in front of the net has been an issue at times. So let me take that one quickly back. On the back end, I think they're pretty soft in front of their own goaltender, honestly. But they don't seem to know what they want to do. At the beginning of the season, they were laughably over-aggressive. You could tell that was the Vellucci touch there, that's what this is going to be. Clearly, they scaled back on that, although they relapse at times. And sometimes it works. And then sometimes they're ultra-conservative. They just don't seem to know how they want to play. And I can't remember, honestly, a Penguins penalty kill that allowed this many one-timers from either circle. Doesn't matter. All the time it happens. And something has to change there, because special teams is in many ways the name of the game in this shortened season against opponents from your own division all the time. And that means that they have you really well scouted. Coming up, Ron, we have a big game for West Virginia. We have a Pirate, and I think a pretty important Pirate, not just this year but for the future, who struggled pretty badly yesterday. Does it matter? Do you watch things like that in spring training? Let's talk about that coming up on Cook and Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.